Matthew chapter 7 is where we're going to begin this morning as we preach the message, The Cycle of Mercy. And this message comes out of part of the Sermon on the Mount. And we might reference that some, but this morning primarily I just want to preach about mercy. Mercy is something that is much spoken of in our culture, in our society. It's much desired by people, but it is very often not extended. In fact, many times people will talk about it all day long, and they want it, but they don't want to extend it to anyone else. And so I want to look at what the Word of God has to say about mercy and the cycle of mercy. And there's a cycle because as we give mercy, we get mercy. In fact, Matthew 5 and verse 7 tells us this morning, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." If we will show mercy, we will get mercy. If we will extend the mercy of God and the mercy of human kindness to others, God says that will be obtained by us. And so a merciful person feels compassion for those who are hurting. Compassion is something that is very much missing in our culture today by and large. There are compassionate people. There are good people who do good things. But boy, by and large, our society and our culture as a whole is becoming very unmerciful. A merciful person feels compassion for the hurting. A merciful person acts in compassion toward those who are hurting. And so someone who's merciful, not only do they feel compassion, but then they act upon it. They say, "What can I do? I have to do something to extend the mercy, to extend love, to extend grace." Author Haddon Robinson, he said this, "Mercy is a response to misery. Mercy understands the hurt, feels the hurt, and moves out to cure the hurt." Understands, feels, and moves out to cure. And we know that the ultimate cure for all of mankind's ails is Jesus Christ and his shed blood, salvation. But you know, many times, even within the body of Christ, and even in those who know Jesus Christ, mercy is not extended. In fact, we tend to get this attitude many times that, well, they got what they deserve. Well, if they really got what was coming to them, well, if I could deal that, if I could take care of what needs to be taken care of. But then when it comes to ourselves, we cry out to God, "Oh God, be merciful." Or we cry out to someone, "Help me, be merciful." So many times mercy is inward focused, but not outward focused. And if we want to have mercy extended to us, the Word of God says, if we are merciful, we'll obtain mercy. So showing mercy, it's not always easy. It's a whole lot easier to condemn someone, look down upon someone, and treat them like dirt. That's just how our human nature is, than it is to be merciful and loving to them. That is Christ's nature. That is the Holy Spirit in us being the hands and feet of Jesus, having the heart of Jesus. Showing mercy isn't always easy when people who need mercy are not the most lovely or the most likable. We want to throw away those who don't suit our tastes or who don't think the way we do or who don't look the way we look or who don't act the way we act or who don't have the same values or ideals that we have. You know what? They need Jesus. They need mercy. They need love. Showing mercy isn't easy when the person who needs mercy, listen to this one, has hurt or offended you. It's not easy to show mercy when someone has hurt you. Or, and in my case, this is the case many times more often, is if they have hurt or offended my family, my children, my wife. I can overlook things a lot easier even when it's me. No big deal. I can go on. But I have to pray a little more about it. You know, you have that protective instinct with your family. But God says that we should show mercy to all people in all situations. Now, that doesn't mean that there shouldn't be, and this is a different sermon and a different topic, but there should be consequences for actions and things of that nature. But we're talking about dealing with people individually on a daily basis, our family, our friends, our coworkers, our enemies, showing mercy, showing love, showing compassion. It is lacking and it is missing in America today. If people don't agree with me or there's a misunderstanding between me or my group or my ideology, then I will throw away everyone else who doesn't believe that, and they're evil, wicked, horrible people that I don't want anything to do with. That is wrong. How are we to reach people with the love of Jesus if we throw them away? How are we going to reach the world for Jesus if we're not a friend to the world? Jesus was a friend to the sinners. I've had this discussion with my children. I've had discussion with other Christians. Your closest, dearest friends should be believers who can help you to grow and encourage you and keep one another accountable before the Lord. But you should have friends who are lost so that you can share the love of Jesus, so you can extend the mercy of Jesus, so you can offer the salvation of Jesus. If we're never a friend to them, how are they going to get saved? Why are they going to come looking to us when they need mercy? So there's what we'll call this morning a cycle of mercy. And the cycle begins with, number one, the acceptance of mercy. The acceptance. So you're not going to be able to show mercy until you first experience mercy. You have to experience mercy in order to be right with God. We received the grace and the mercy and the love of God in the person of Jesus Christ when we received Him for salvation. We came with nothing to offer. We came deserving the wrath of God, and by faith, accepting Jesus and His finished work on Calvary, we received Jesus Christ as Lord of our life. We were given the gift of the Holy Spirit. God showered mercy upon us. And many times after we're saved, we look back and we think of all the times that God extended His mercy to us that we didn't even know. Times that I could have been dead before I was saved and I would have been in hell. Times that God sent the right person at the right place at the right time. And probably for all of us, things we'll never know this side of heaven. God has extended His mercy and His love and His grace. The first of the Beatitudes, or the blessed attitudes, as they're sometimes called, as Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. A person who's poor in spirit has come to the end of himself, realizing that we have nothing good to offer to God. Actually throwing ourselves on the mercy of God, poor in spirit. Coming to that point where we realize, before God, I am truly less than nothing. I have nothing to offer Him because He is the creator of everything. There is nothing good that I can do that can please Him because He is holy and righteous. The only way to be made right with God is to become poor in spirit and throw ourselves on the mercy of God and saying and realizing, I have offended a holy and righteous God. But I am depending on Jesus and His shed blood. I am believing in Him as my Redeemer. And then at the moment of salvation, as God extends that mercy through the blood of Jesus, He sees us through the blood as perfect and as holy and as righteous as His own Son. And we can come boldly to the throne of grace and pour out our heart and our needs and our desires. And our heart and our desires and our will can begin to line up with His as He continues to shower His mercy and His love and His grace upon us. First, you have to accept mercy. If you're in here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, you've never given your heart and life to Him, that's where you must begin. You want to experience the mercy of God and the grace of God in its fullest? Oh, you're a living example of it every day. But do you want to experience it in its fullest and for all of eternity? You must repent of your sins, turn to Jesus, and be saved. Acceptance is the first step in mercy. The person who is poor in spirit recognizes that he needs forgiveness. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." We need forgiveness. Because our very best that we can try to offer God is like the leper's rags that have been taken off of those wounds, full of all of that stuff that we don't want to think about. That stuff they would throw in a pile to burn. That's the very best we have to offer God without Jesus. But once Jesus comes, He sets us free. Throw yourself on the mercy of God. If you've not done that, that's the number one step, acceptance of His mercy. A person who's poor in spirit realizes that he or she is a miserable, lost sinner in need of mercy. You ever remember the first time you realized you were in need of mercy, maybe as a child? something happened, and you just wait till dad gets home. Oh, man. I think the first time, I didn't even know what mercy was, but I was wanting it. In those moments were just horrible waiting for dad to get home. Usually it was an exciting thing. You can't wait for dad to get home. Not on those days. Mercy. Maybe the first time that you really messed up big time on a job. You're praying for mercy when it's time to go talk to the boss. Maybe the first time you messed up really bad in your marriage or in a relationship. You want mercy. We all want and seek and desire mercy in many areas of our lives, but the place that we first need it is, and most need it, is to accept the mercy of God in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, and know that we're saved. Mercy is exactly what God has shown to all of mankind through Jesus. Psalm 85 and verse 10 says, "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." So this verse was fulfilled at the cross of Calvary, by the way. And Jesus died for your sins. And the truth is that someone had to pay for your sins in order to satisfy God's perfect sense of righteousness and holiness and goodness. Somebody had to pay. I can't go before God without Jesus. I can't stand before Him. He can't look at my life. He can't do what He wants to do through me without Jesus. First, there has to be a substitute, and Jesus Christ, the perfect and holy, righteous, sinless Son of God, suffered and died on the cross in your place and mine as a payment so that peace with God could be secured. Righteousness and peace kissed each other as God's righteousness was satisfied in the blood of Jesus. And redemption was secured for all mankind. Everyone. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other as God's righteousness is satisfied. Think of that. They came together in perfect unity and perfect harmony in the person of Jesus on the cross. In His shed blood, we have redemption. So God's already shown you mercy. He requires only one thing. Accept that mercy by faith. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you've accepted God's mercy, you know what mercy is because you experience it every single day in your life. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, though, you still need God's mercy day by day. When we sin as Christians and our fellowship is broken, Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sin have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." In Psalm, the psalmist tells us, "If I regard iniquity or sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." We want to make sure we have an open line of communication. We have a good relationship with the Father so that at a moment's notice, we can just pray and talk to Him, so that we can just converse with Him throughout the day in that state of continual prayer, making sure things are right. When we come to God and confess our sins, He forgives and restores that fellowship. New Testament tells us the same in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So every time we accept God's forgiveness for our sin, we are shown mercy anew. By the way, when was the last time God did not forgive you? The last time God did not extend His mercy. No one can answer honestly that God has ever not forgiven. He said, "If you confess, I will forgive and cleanse you." That's mercy. Who is there in your life that you refuse to forgive? We are to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We are to be a representatives of heaven in this life. Oh, we want the mercy of God every day, and as we cry out, we call out upon Him. But did you know that if we refuse to forgive, the Bible says that we won't be forgiven? Doesn't mean you're lost. It means there's still that barrier between you and God. He's not hearing your prayer. He's not able to answer prayer. He's not working in your life the way that he wants to. If we regard sin in our heart, not showing mercy to someone, not forgiving someone, not loving them the way that we should in Christ is sin. Because to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We are to forgive every time we are offended, just as our God and Savior do, over and over and over. Acceptance of mercy. Number two is the attitude of mercy. The attitude of mercy. Bad attitude is what keeps us many times from showing mercy to others. And there's some mindsets that will hinder us from being merciful. Number one is pride. That's a big one. Pride will keep us from being merciful because we think ourselves so much greater and so much better than everyone else that they could never possibly measure up to us anyway. There's no way that they could ever possibly be right and that I could possibly be wrong. And even if I am wrong, I would never let them know. One of the worst pieces of advice I ever got in my life as a young preacher many years ago was an older pastor who told me, "Don't ever tell anybody you don't know something." That's dumb. I'm sorry. I don't know lots of things. We are to be learning and growing all the time. And if a spiritual leader will say, will make something up. In fact, that's advice that's given. You don't know, just make it up. That's called lying. On two counts. You know what? I don't know. But I can get in God's word and we can find the answer. We can find the principle that applies. I know the answers are there. Pride will keep us from extending mercy. A critical spirit keeps us from extending mercy. When all we can do is look down on someone and constantly bash them down and spiritually tread on them, kick them when they're down, making ourselves look better at the expense of someone else, that critical spirit will keep you from showing mercy. Selfishness keeps us from showing mercy. Well, bless God, if I don't get that blessing, they don't need it either. You know, we don't ever say these things out loud, but in our heart, we think these things. I deserve that. Whatever. Unforgiveness will keep us from being merciful. Already touched on that one. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." Why? "Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Because God has forgiven me, I need, with God's help, to forgive others, even when they don't deserve it. That's mercy. Merciful attitude is an attitude of compassion because we've experienced God's compassion. Compassion for the person who doesn't have enough to eat. Compassion for the person who's suffering illness. Compassion for the person who's down on his luck, as we might term it. Compassion for the person who's hurting. Compassion for the person who's going to hell because they have not trusted Jesus. Compassion on the person who has hurt you or your family. If God didn't have a heart of compassion, a heart of mercy toward you and toward me, where would we be today? If he wasn't willing to forgive me over and over and over again and extend his mercy and his grace and his love, where would we be? What if he decided to throw us away the first time we messed up? Or, you know what? Too many times, it's over, you're done, throw you away. People do that with people in their lives. Throw them away. It's wrong. It's sinful. It's not of God. If God threw us away, we would all be in hell rather than in this place this morning. Every one of us. But he shows mercy. Ask God for a heart of compassion, of mercy. That brings us to number three, is the action of mercy. So the attitude of mercy is not enough. The attitude has to then be translated into action. James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not the things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" 1 John addresses this in chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed, action, and in truth. In deed, and in truth. I remember the first time understanding what this meant when I was about 11 or 12 years old. And I won't name where we were. My dad was on staff in a church as an assistant pastor. We lived in a parsonage. And the parsonage had run out of propane in the winter. The house was cold. I knew, because I was really close friends with the pastor's son that lived about 5 or 6 doors up from us, maybe a little more. They had a nice warm house and even had spare rooms. But it wasn't even offered to us. And I remember thinking as a young person, why didn't they just have us come up there if they can't get heat in our house tonight? The church should have taken care of that, should have made sure it was taken care of. I didn't know all the stuff I understand about it now, but I knew it wasn't right when there was a way to meet our family's need when we were cold. And so that's what these verses are talking about. If we see a need in our brother or sister in Christ and we have the opportunity and the ability to meet that need, we should meet that need out of the mercy of our heart and the love and the compassion of our heart for our family in Christ. And when we hold that back, it is sinful and wicked. And how can we expect God to bless us? And we want the blessings and the abundance of God. But, well, bless God, just be warmed and filled. Put some extra blankets on. Wear a coat to bed. I'm exaggerating a little bit. That's the thought behind it, right? I remember as a child being affected by that in particular. I've thought of that over the years as I've offered things that I've had to try to help someone else. We need to extend mercy. When we start to feel an attitude of mercy and compassion towards someone or toward their situation, the first thing that we should do is pray. That's the first thing. As you pray, ask God what to do. God, I see this need. God, perhaps I can meet this need. How do I do it? What is the right way to do it? How can I honor and please you in this? How can I meet the need? So do you feel compassion toward an unsaved friend? Ask God for that person's salvation and ask God what you should do about it. Ask God to give you the opportunity, the right moments, the right words. Do you have compassion on someone hurting because of the loss of a loved one or a marital problem or some other sort of problem? Ask God what to do about it. You know, we look at situations a lot of times and like, man, I just wish I could help. Well, you may not even have the physical means of helping, but are you praying about it? Have mercy on them by praying and crying out to God to meet that need. He might meet it through you. He might meet it another way. But our mercy helps us to call out to God to meet those needs. Do you have compassion on someone who has a physical need? Ask God what to do about it. Do you have compassion on a situation in another country? Ask God if there's anything you can do. If you can help tangibly, do that. If you can't help tangibly, pray. It's the most powerful tool we have. Are you feeling compassion on someone who's chosen to be your enemy? Ask God what to do about it. James 1:5 tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. You need wisdom to know what to do? Ask God what to do about it. And after you ask for God's guidance, then take action. Do what you can to show mercy, to relieve suffering to someone else. And when we show mercy, who are we really showing mercy to? Look at Matthew 25 with me, verses 31 to 40. And I think I may have forgotten to put this in the slides, so you can turn there with me. It's an important passage here. Matthew 25, verse 31. You can listen as I read, or you can turn or tap there with me this morning. Matthew 25, starting in verse 31, the Word of God says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, and as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." Verse 33 of Matthew 25, "And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me in. Naked, and ye clothed Me. I was sick, and ye visited Me. I was in prison, and ye came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee an hungered, and fed Thee, or thirsty, and gave Thee drink? When did we see you a stranger and take Thee in, or naked and clothe Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick and in prison and came unto Thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, you have done it unto Me." So ultimately, when we show mercy, when we show the mercy and the grace and the love of God, we are doing it to our Savior, to Jesus. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? How many opportunities have we missed? So we saw the acceptance and the attitude and the action of mercy. The last one, number four, is the acceleration of mercy. Once again, in our main verse in Matthew 5, verse 7, says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." It's the cycle. Be mercy, obtain. Be merciful, obtain mercy. Be merciful, obtain mercy. Be merciful, obtain mercy. So this doesn't mean that people will always be merciful to you just because you're merciful to them. No. In fact, many times it's the opposite. In fact, Jesus Christ was the most merciful person who ever walked this earth, and they hung Him on a cross and murdered Him. However, it's not man's mercy that you and I are in need of. It's God's mercy that I need. It's God's mercy that you need. How do we get that? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You need God's mercy? Show His love and His mercy. Extend it to others. Even those, especially those who don't deserve it, or who we think don't deserve it. God's mercy is what we need. The more mercy I'm willing to show, the more mercy God is willing to give. It's a continual cycle. Show His mercy, be His hands and feet, receive His mercy and His grace. He'll shower His mercy on us in so many ways, in any number of ways. We could talk about that for a long time this morning. We don't have time. He's a very good and gracious and merciful God. First of all, this morning, do you know Him? Are you saved? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is Jesus preparing a place for you? Have you been set free? If not, I want to invite you this morning to come and give your heart and life to Jesus. Let us show you in God's Word what He says about His free gift. And Christian, where are you on the scale of mercy? Evaluate your heart this morning. Evaluate your mercy. Think about God's mercy. Am I extending it the same way? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord Jesus, thank You for loving us with an everlasting love. I thank You, Father, that You, before the foundations of the world, had already set in motion a way of redemption. It's beyond our comprehension to know that You knew what this world would become and what we would do to Your Son, and yet You chose to give Him and He chose to come, so that we could be reconciled to You, be sons and daughters of God, and have all that You offer us through Christ. Thank You for that. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know that, touch their heart today, draw them by Your love, convict their hearts, that they would not leave today without knowing their home is in heaven. And Lord, I pray for every one of us who are believers. May we search our heart. May we evaluate the mercy that we show. We thank you so much for the mercy you give. Bless this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.